Good afternoon, everybody. We'll be starting this call at 4 p.m. sharp. Kindly prepare accordingly. Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Shivalik Bimetal Controls Limited's Q2 and H1 FY2025 earnings webinar produced by Elevees. We appreciate your time and interest in joining us today. We're pleased to welcome the senior management team from Shivalik Bimetal Controls Limited who are present on today's call. Mr. Rajeev Ranjan, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Sumer Ghumman and Mr. Kabir Ghumman, Directors of Shivalik. To participate in the audio interactive Q&A session of this webinar, please raise your hand and you will be added to the queue. Instructions on how to raise your hand will be available in the webinar chat should you need it. As the management begins their opening remarks, please feel comfortable to raise your hands to start forming the question and answer queue. Shivalik's investor presentation and press release for Q2 and H1 FY25 will also be made available to access through the webinar chat box. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. Some statements in today's call may be forward-looking based on current expectations and subject to risks that could cause results to differ materially. With that, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajeev Ranjan, CFO of Shivalik Bimetal Controls Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Rajeev.
Thank you, Symphony. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today as we gather to discuss Shivalik Bimetal Controls Limited performance in quarter two and H1 FY25. I would like to begin by sharing our perspective on the resilience that defines this period. Despite the global inventory reset that we have been experiencing over the last two quarters, our results speak to the strength of our strong global approval base and product acceptance, and the deliberate steps we have taken, particularly in Europe, to position ourselves for sustained success. Let me begin with a detailed look at our financial highlights. The total income H1 FY25. Our revenue for H1 FY25 was rupees 216.77 crore, a slight decrease of 3.86% from H1 FY24. While this may appear modest, it reflects our ability to deliver a stable revenue despite end-use demand recalibration and temporary inventory cleanup that is currently underway, particularly in the USA. This elasticity, particularly in sectors like automotive and industrial, underscores Shivalik's capacity to adapt and sustain growth, while specific economies and sectors make systematic adjustments. Gross margin, H1 FY25. We recorded a gross margin of 46.57% for H1 FY25, marking a reduction of 272 basis points compared to the previous year. This reflects our strategic pivot towards high demand products that, while slightly lower in margin, align with evolving market needs. Our deliberate choice to adjust the product mix helps us maintain market relevance and secure long-term revenue streams, demonstrating our foresight in navigating market dynamics. Profit before tax, H1 FY25. Our PBT for H1 FY25 came in at rupees 47.24 crore, down 11.09% from H1 FY24, with a margin contraction of 178 basis points to 21.79%. This performance, influenced by rising input costs, reaffirms the importance of our disciplined approach to managing expenses, especially in periods where cost pressures are more pronounced. Profit after tax, H1 FY25. Our PAT for H1 FY25 was rupees 35.28 crore, representing a PAT margin of 16.27%, a modest decline from the previous year. This consistency at the net level highlights our operational discipline and underscores the long-term sustainability of our business, even as we manage challenging external conditions. Sequentially, our Q2 FY25 revenue grew by 2.18% over Q1 FY25, signaling the early shoots of recovery in important sectors like automotive and industrial electronics. With demand gradually returning, our shunt resistor business should continue to be a primary growth engine, as we are experiencing in markets like India and Asia. In closing, these results affirm our commitment to the steady, purposeful management of our business. We are guided by the understanding that true resilience is about making deliberate, forward-looking choices, choices that balance today's performance with tomorrow's opportunities. Now, I would like to hand over Mr. Sumer Bhumman, Director of Shivalik Biometal Controls Limited.
Thank you, Rajiv. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. I would like to take a moment to reflect on the foundations that define Shivalik. We have always pursued growth that is meaningful, growth that aligns with our long-term vision and values. The results you see today are a result of our vision of building a company that can weather cyclical and market-specific challenges while seizing opportunities with clarity and precision. In H1 FY25, our shunt segment in India grew by 45.27%. This foreshadows what is ahead of us as India's accelerating industrial expansion unfolds before us. This performance reflects our alignment with the nation's drive towards technological modernization, underscoring Shivalik's role as a reliable partner to the automotive and industrial sectors. Our European operations represent a carefully considered strategic investment, and establishing a wholly owned subsidiary in Italy this year is a significant step forward. This subsidiary will now allow us to engage directly with the market, bypassing intermediaries and delivering products more efficiently and responsibly. By strategically consolidating our European presence, we've reduced operational redundancies and enhanced our ability to capture demand in a high-growth region. Looking forward, our goal remains to produce quality growth, one that focuses on both top and bottom line contributions. We continue to concentrate on strengthening our core offerings and build on our ongoing R&D. As we grow our approval base and acceptance in segments such as BMSs for electric vehicles, energy efficiency and smart metering systems, we do so with a commitment to quality and innovation that has always defined Shivalik. In essence, our journey is not only about market share, but also about the quality of partnerships, the high reliability of our products that our customers are accustomed to, and the overall value we create across industries and geographies. I'd like to hand it over to Kabir.
Thanks,
Kabir, the director.
Thank you. Thank you, Sumer, and good afternoon, everyone. So Shivalik's journey over the years has been shaped by a dedication to innovation and a respect for the evolving needs of our customers, its applications, and the overall global market. At Shivalik, we've always been driven by a forward-thinking commitment to meet the evolving needs of the industry, advancing towards electrification, energy efficiency, energy storage, etc. And we've taken strategic steps to expand in component applications such as electric vehicles and industrial applications, where demand for our shunt and bimetal continue to grow. We believe that these are not just growth sectors, but they represent the future of sustainable technology, especially considering the rate of electrification and various energy storage applications. Our products, as many of you may know, are the heart of all smart systems, providing essential functions in energy-sensitive applications. And this places Shivalik in a unique position of responsibility and influence. So supported by our R&D and growing financial strength, we are pursuing opportunities which will not only benefit Shivalik, but also contribute to the larger global transitions, particularly in energy management and sustainability. As a business, we have been always guided and continue to be guided by a respect for long-term value, knowing that sustainable growth comes from a combination of innovation, financial prudence, and a deep understanding of market forces. And with this, I'm confident that Shivalik is prepared to navigate the complexities and seize emerging opportunities. Thank you. Rajiv, over to you.
Thank you, Sumer and Kavir, for your insights. To summarize, H1 FY25 has been a period of resilience, operational rigor, and forward thinking of Shivalik. Even as we face a challenging global landscape, our strategy of disciplined growth and market-driven products alignment has enabled us to deliver a solid first half and stay well-positioned to uphold our commitment to long-term value creation. As we look to the future, our focus remains on leveraging our strength in key regions and sectors, expanding our footprint in high growth areas, and continuing to drive operational excellence. I extend my sincere thanks to our shareholders, partners, and employees for their support and trust. With that, we open the floor to questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. For those wishing to ask questions, please raise your hand and you'll be invited to unmute and speak in turn. Just a reminder, to raise your hand on Zoom, on desktop, click Reactions and select Raise Hand. If you're on mobile, tap More, the three dots, and choose Raise Hand. To lower your hand, select Lower Hand from the same menu. We'll start with the first question from the line of Deepan Sankara Narayanan. Deepak, you're now allowed to unmute. Please unmute and ask your question.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks a lot for the opportunity. So firstly, happy to see that US business started growing Q&Q basis. So early signs of EV sales picking up and increased momentum in hybrids also visible. So how do we see shunts growth in US market for H2 this year and over next 3 years?
Hi, Deepan. So what we are seeing, what the kind of forecast that we have, and we've been saying that the last couple of quarters as well, that we have a sort of a brighter view from the fourth quarter of this year onwards, where we have already received some forecasts of increase in quantity. So we expect to see certain growth coming in this quarter onwards, the last quarter of this year, that is Q4. And then thereafter, the next 1 year or so, or the next financial year or so, we should continue to see growth coming in from those areas. That growth, of course, is coming from our existing business growing, this is existing business, as well as some of the new opportunities that we had developed over the last 1 year or 2 years or so. We will continue to see an increase from there as well. Interestingly, other than the US market, we are also seeing substantial growth for the shunt resistors, specifically for automotive, coming from other markets as well. For example, mainly like, let's say, Indian market. So we expect to see the next 2 or 3 years showing quite a bit of growth from these areas as well.
Okay, adding on to that, what is the reason for Q-on-Q decline in shunt business overall revenues this quarter?
So in general, even as of now, from quarter to quarter, we have not seen an increase or the growth that we are expecting to see from the US. Most of this is coming from the decline of the US market. So that is still under decline at this point. We expect that to increase in the fourth quarter. So as of now, that decline is coming from there. And that decline is not as substantial as it looks geographically in the US area, US market. It is quite high, the decline, but because there's growth in all these other markets, that is why it is, overall still showing as a decline, but not still as much.
Thank you, Deepan. Please rejoin the queue for any more follow-up questions. Our next question is from the line of Vivek Seth. Vivek, you can now unmute your line and proceed with your questions.
Am I audible?
Yes,
Am I
please
audible?
go ahead. Yes, please go ahead.
With the US elections over, how do you see the policies being favorable to the company?
Well, I mean, it's hard for us to put a comment exactly on that, but what we were expecting is that, this US election results, of course, everybody knows is very favorable towards businesses and large corporations. And since a large chunk of our business comes from the US market, this even has an impact globally. So we expect to see a positive impact on business, as does everybody else.
Okay, great. And how is this Metalor MOU moving forward? Any progress on that?
Yes, in fact, during our AGM last AGM in September, we had brought this up that the way things were going in the direction of this joint venture that we were assessing, the overall structure of this joint venture, the way it was materializing, was not being suitable for the company, which basically means that it was too much of an investment required to get not a similar level of increase in business. So we have, at this point, either we have decided to not go ahead with it, or we are looking at an alternate arrangement wherein it could be more beneficial for us. After this last 7-8 months of doing, them conducting a due diligence, and then alongside that, us making a business plan for this joint venture or for this partnership, the result of that was that the investments required were much higher than the kind of business or kind of the bottom line it could eventually add. So financially, it was not making as much sense, at least in the structure that was originally envisioned.
Okay.
Now what we are looking at is to see if we can find an alternate method or not consider it at all.
Okay. Can I get one more last question?
Yes.
So any new products that have been developed by the R&D team in last 4-5 months, which give you a future revenue guidance?
Yes, I think
guidance.
Kabir, you should.
Yeah, I'll take that. Again, this is a topic we've been, talking about in the past as well, that there are multiple developments that are going on currently, which go in line with downstream addition in terms of value addition, where certain assemblies would be added onto our core product. Now, these are in stages where initial trials have been conducted and prototyping has already been completed. There are some changes that have occurred in some of these designs or some of these processes, keeping in mind, an ever-changing environment as far as the end customer specifications are concerned. So we are realigning some of those processes, but it is an ongoing process where two or three different project lines are being added. And as this goes forward, we'll be providing updates regularly as well.
Thank you. Please raise your hand to rejoin the queue for any more follow-up questions. The next question will be from the line of Dhruv Jain. from Ambit. Dhruv, you can now unmute your line and ask your question. Please go ahead.
Hi team, thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, I had a question on the biometal business. So, we've seen a growth across geographies in this quarter, sorry, a decline across geographies this quarter. So if you could just highlight as to if there is anything which is a structural issue that you feel or it's more transitory.
Hi Dhruv. So basically, if you see that this is not really a decline. If you see our total output in terms of volume or in terms of production tonnage has actually gone up. Now, it has not gone up as much as we had probably expected. But the thing is, the key commodities involved, which is nickel and copper, are across the board down substantially globally, the markets, right? So that's showing sort of a decline in the overall top line. Having said that, other than that, there has also been in certain geographies, there has been an actual decline in demand as well. And that we have seen from, like for example, in India, we are looking at about a five, in the U India Indian market and the US market, which contribute to the majority of the whole biometal business. We've seen a total decline of 4 or 5%. And that 4 or 5% actually means a slight increase if you factor in the commodity prices. But in some areas, we have seen a larger decline, and that is mainly the European markets and some of the other Asian markets, wherein there are actual reduction in orders. So this is what we have been able to analyze is that this is basically in certain markets a general reduction in demand.
Okay, and sir, from your order book perspective, do you see that you will see a material uptick, at least from India market or some of the other markets in terms of growth sequentially going forward in this business?
Yes, so at this point, our maximum confidence at this point lies for the bimetal business specifically lies in the Indian market, because we are continuing to see a strong growth in the Indian market, or the demand or the forecast. Let's say that one of our larger customers in the switchgear business, or few of our largest customers in the switchgear business, which make up for a large percentage overall, they have been giving us very good and encouraging forecast for the Indian market in the next year, which when I say next year means the next calendar year, which is their financial year in most cases. So the they have been asking us to be prepared to supply 20 to 25% in some cases higher than this year. Now, that is purely a forecast coming from the customer, where they just want us to be organized and prepared from production and raw materials point of view. Whether how much of that materializes is a separate thing. But since they are giving us this encouraging forecast, we assume that a lot of that and some of the data that we have, we feel that a lot of that is coming from infrastructure growth in India as well as the strong real estate market. So if you see, not just in larger cities, but in smaller towns and tier two, tier three cities, a lot of real estate development is continuing to go on. And alongside that, all the highways, roads, railways, all of those things are eventually going to materialize more and more into demand for the Indian market. Now, besides this, the real impact that shows in our numbers is, comes from the US market. Now, if we see some kind of further improvement in the bimetal business from the US market, then it would be a win-win situation in the bimetal growth numbers for next year.
Got it, got it. And if you could just talk a little more about the European new subsidiary that you guys are starting now. How do you see that really changing your operations, both from a bimetal and shunt resistor space in that market? And any guidance or numbers that you want to give us in terms of the European operations that you're thinking with respect to this structure change that you guys are doing?
Right. So basically, until now, historically, and which has worked out to be a good model for us, we have the thermostatic bimetal business in the most of the European regions, and leaving aside the larger customers who were directly dealing with Shivalik, there was a substantial chunk of business that we were doing through an agent based out of Milan, And you know, that person now, that company that was doing it, that company is winding up, and the person who was running it is retiring because of age, etc. So we thought that instead of appointing a new person, last year we took the decision that we will enter the European market directly for that customer base as well. And then we did, when we started analyzing that idea, we realized that there could be more business opportunities, which probably, you know, there's a certain set of customers in Europe that need a local presence. And some of that business, you know, maybe we were not able to get by going through this agent, because as you can imagine, if somebody is at a retirement stage, it obviously, you know, growth is not the only thing on their mind at this point. So we see this as an opportunity where some of those customers we can target and get directly under Shivalik instead of going through an intermediary. Apart from that, having this subsidiary can help us in identifying and looking for more opportunities in the resistor business, which other than a few large customers that we deal with directly at this point was not and sort of an untapped area for us. So we see it as a double advantage to us having this kind of a base directly in Europe.
Thank you for your questions, Dhruv. You can raise your hand again to rejoin the queue for any more follow-up questions. Our next question is from Divyansh Gupta. Divyansh, you can now unmute your line and ask your questions.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, hey, so I was looking at the presentation numbers for, let's say, the volume of shunt and bimetal in this quarter for Q1 or Q2 FY24. And if I compare these numbers with the Q2 24's presentation, there is a difference of about 17 to 24% in shunt and bimetal. So is the difference purely because of scrap, or there is some other reasons due to which the volume numbers are differing?
So Rajiv, yeah, you're talking about this presentation we have uploaded last day.
Yeah, so if I say if I look at Q2 FY25 presentation,
okay,
and refer the numbers of volume for shunt and bimetal for Q2 FY24, and I look at the Q2 FY24's presentation and refer to the volume of shunt and bimetal for Q2 FY24, there is a difference in the volume for both shunt and bimetal.
Yeah, the earlier we used to give the quantity along with the scrap quantity, and this that was somehow giving us not a concrete or fair comparison quarter to quarter or H1 to H1. So that this time we have excluded the quantity of scrap to give us a comparable fair numbers on quarter to quarter and year to year.
So got it. So this is purely because of, let's say, scrap or products that we are rejecting at our side and not selling to the end customer. That is a fair assumption of the difference, right?
Correct.
So the question actually is that is this, let's say, 20% motor difference, is that, let's say, our best efficiency level of this number can be further reduced through whatever processes we are automating and therefore help in better profitability or better throughput? So what is the, let's say, target number that we are trying to achieve?
That we need to see with the product-wise. So, and even in product-wise, we are having so many SKUs where you can see a variance of maybe a 6% to up to 33 or 34%. So you cannot counter it, or maybe it's not possible to give you a exact number for how far we can reach. But as per our estimation in bimetal, it is somewhere around 8 to 11% the throughput. And in shunt resistor, which is still evolving application, and based on which we try to get it reduced and keep it below 20% as an average.
But is this a number that is, let's say, expected because of the manufacturing process? Or that's my question. Is 20% a BAU number or not? Mix can change.
Yes. But so for bimetal, as I said, It would be around 10 to 11%, and it is an established process where we cannot see a further fall down and maybe further increase for the throughput. In shunt registered, and even for the product mix, if you go by the strip and component, so in component, there may be in some SKUs, it will go up to 33-34%. And for strip section, it is around 15-20% due to process.
Yeah, Rajiv, I'll just add just to for clarity that these, especially at component level, these are completely defined by the product design itself. There are certain part layouts where you have no choice but to lose 15% or 20% or even up to 30% as design scrap. But having said that, we have certain projects and certain programs in place where we are monitoring some of the high runners, and some automation and certain inline sensing has been developed to, you know, to at least reduce the percentage that can be controlled, basically. So that we are already working on. So we are targeting in some cases to reduce, you know, 3 percentage points or 4 percentage points where MOQs have been defined with customers. So there are two or three aspects here, because some customers will follow the MOQs that we have defined. There are certain other customers that like to be flexible. So we are working with our customers to respect the MOQs, and with those MOQs in place, we can target a higher chunk of volume having lower material loss. And on the other hand, automations are continuously being developed. There are certain processes or certain equipment that has been changed over this year. There are some in line also for next year, which give us higher productivity and overall lower scrap rates.
Thank you for your questions, Divyansh. You can raise your hand again to rejoin for any more follow-up questions. Our next question is from Akash Vora. Akash, you can now unmute yourself and ask your question. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is regarding the smart meters theme. So how much of smart meters business we have done this quarter in total, and how much we have done in India in specific?
So it's one of our Akash, one of our fa fastest growing areas at this point is smart meters. To give you some perspective, that is the one area that first of all, majority of that business is domestic. We do some metering business which is for export, but let's say majority of it is currently Indian domestic. And what we are seeing at this point is that generally, as a business from last year to this year, we are looking at about 70-75% growth in that area. And that is keeping in mind the business that we've done in these two quarters. This current quarter, as well as the next quarter, the Q3 and Q4, we expect to see a further growth of 10-15% from these previous two quarters. So keeping all of that in the numbers in mind, and those are pretty clear forecasts that we have from our customers, and it's something that's the visibility is very clear, because all those orders are already there with the customers. So we expect to see maybe in the best case scenario even something like a double of last year's business. Now, last year's business related to smart meters was roughly about in the range of 37-38 crores, which we expect should be close to about 70-75 crores at a sort of a conservative level. Now, as we've been mentioning before, that a lot of the growth in the smart meter business depends on how much of the latching relay is produced in India. Now, latching relay is the key component that differentiates a meter, a regular meter, from a smart meter. And that latching relay, mostly, even today, surprisingly, even today, continues to come from China. The good part is that a lot of production of latching relays has already begun in India, but it's all very recent. That is why we are seeing this growth. Our business is directly related to how much of the latching relay is produced here. The amount of percentage of latching relays being produced in India is continuously increasing at a very fast rate. So all of the key players in the market for smart meters have either in the process of Indianizing or localizing their latching relay manufacturing, or they have definite plans of doing so. So once that happens, or once that completely translates into a, let not completely may not be the right word to use, but let's say even if 50% of it translates to locally produced latching relays, the growth can be 3 to 4 times of what we are seeing right now also. So that is where we stand. But I would stick to the modest numbers, and I would say that we would continue to see this kind of growth in smart meters at least over the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, and I'd like to add the specific question of Akash regarding the energy meter business. So it's the last year we have done almost 8.5%, and this year till compared to the 6 months is around 13.5%. And if you see the last year of export contribute around 4% out of 8.5%, and this year the export is around 4.5%. So there is an increase of almost 0.5% compared to the last year, whereas domestic was around 4.5%, which has grew to 9%. So almost 48-49% jump in energy meter in the domestic market.
Yeah, got it. So these numbers, Rajiv sir, which you mentioned, 4% is of the total sales or shunt sales?
It's a total sales.
Total sales. And sir, so I think Sumer mentioned that we might be expecting somewhere around a 70-75 crore business from smart meters this year. So how much of it from the relays and how much from the shunt side are we expecting?
So he was sharing with you a total business, the domestic shunt business. And I have given you the energy meter business. So these are the two different things. So in domestic, along with the energy meter, we are supplying to another automotive applications also, and to some other applications also. So 70 odd crore is a domestic, that will be a domestic shunt business, including energy meter, automotive, and other applications.
Okay. So, sir, just let me rephrase my question here. So, of the total, I think last year we did a total of 12 to 13 crore of smart meter business within India, if I'm understanding it right, correct?
Go ahead.
Yeah, so this year I think we might be we should be able to double, as I understand from your guidance. So of that, how much would be from relays and how much would be from shunts per se?
So shunts actually go into a relay. So relay is not something that we produce. Relay is what our customer produces. So we are basically supplying the shunt that goes into the relay.
Got it. So, I actually wanted to ask about the contacts. Are electrical contacts also being used in the relays?
That is correct. So, we are, as I was saying, that as number of relays that continue to be locally produced, as that number goes up, the opportunity for contacts also continues to go up. So, as of now, we are supplying contacts to almost 50% of the business that we are supplying the shunt to in the relays. Now I'm only talking of smart meter related business. Why as of now it's 50% is because the contacts is a slightly different kind of a business. There are other suppliers as well, and so there is more competition. And so we also we also plan our targets or target business accordingly. Whereas in case of shunt, we are the only suppliers for that type of a product, that type of a shunt. So if the relay is produced here, all of the shunt will be supplied by us.
Understood, sir. So just to summarize what you said, so if I'm expecting a 25-30 crore business from shunts, only from smart meter applications, then on the contact side also, I can expect at least, let's say, 50%. So I think somewhere around 10 to 12 crores additional from the smart meter.
No, that could be more than that, because the value of contacts that go in even an average relay, that's something to consider these numbers for. I think it would be if a shunt is, let's say, about 25, 30, well, let's say about 30 rupees average, then the contacts could be worth 60, 65. So even at 50% or less than 50% target, we can still have a similar top line of business coming from just contacts. So, to give you some perspective, just the smart meter related business that we would have added in contacts this year would be more than about
20 crores or so, 18 to 20 crores by the end of this year should be just our contact business.
Thank you for your questions, Akash. You can raise your hand and rejoin the queue for any more follow-up questions. Our next question is from Rohan Vora. Rohan, you can now unmute your line and go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, yes. So, sir, first question was a bookkeeping one. So, what would be the breakup of bimetals business into switchgear and others for this quarter?
So overall, bimetal in the switchgear contributes almost 80% plus.
Okay, and others would be gas meters and automotives.
So automotive and gas comes under shunt. In bimetal, the major application of the industry is switchgear, which contributes more than 80% of the revenue.
Yeah, Rajiv, just to correct that, there are some gas meter applications also for thermostatic bimetal. But other than switchgear, there are other application areas where gas meters is definitely one of them. And then there are certain other temperature control devices, snap action discs for, overload protectors. There are some spiral coils and springs that are made for angular deflection for temperature measurement, temperature recording. So there are many smaller applications that cover up that 20%.
Right, right. And safe to say that switchgear in the switchgear India is major contributor for us.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your questions, Rohan. Our next question will be from the line of Shikha Mehta. Shikha, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead and ask your question.
Good evening, sir. I have a couple of questions. One is on the gross margins. So like we discussed earlier on, a certain amount of the correction in gross margin is because of the product mix. Can you give us some guidance as to where this could stabilize for us, or do we have any indicators on that?
Yeah, of course. You can see this quarter, our gross margin has improved, and it is due to the various factors. One of the major factors is the price, the cost of the raw material, because the last year, you can see there was a gradual decrease in LME quarter to quarter that has somehow stabilized in the past two quarters. The second thing is the product mix. So if you see growth in shunt, specifically from the domestic market, which aged a marginal improvement in the gross margin. And if I see the last eight quarters result, our gross margin, if the combination of both the product will be in 50-50%, it will improve further on, further here on. So today, if we are at 47-48%, but it should go up to 50%.
So, assuming next financial year is better for our shunt business, we can assume a much better gross margin. Would that be right to say?
Yes.
And so, secondly, I think earlier on the call, we were talking about the next quarter onwards looking substantially better. So, I heard someone say Q4. Our earlier guidance was improvement from Q3. So is it correct to assume that the second half of this financial year will be better, or are we referring that guidance to Q4?
So as we have shared, and even Sumer has shared the concrete answer that what we are foreseeing according to the market commitment and the interaction with the customer, fourth quarter onwards, we are confident that the growth will come. And the next year, we are assuming, even we are hoping with the similar line of growth as we have shared now. So third quarter, the whole financial year 25, we are seeing just a steady growth, not any exponential or the substantial we have foreseen neither in the first quarter nor in the second quarter, and the next two quarters will be on the same line. In fact, the fourth quarter onwards, we are just hoping that we will get at least a 10% growth on
Right.
both.
And so lastly, I think last year we were talking about adding new customers in the US. I understand that the market has not been great, but have we been successful in adding customers other than Vishay Dale, which is our largest client in the US?
Yes, Shekha, there are certain projects that have materialized into initial prototyping that has been, or initial sampling that has been approved. Some products are already passed on the design validation stage. Some have gone into product validation, and these would be for end users other than Vishay. So we are now in some cases in the final sign off on the sales agreements and the purchase agreements, and we should start seeing formal supplies to them very soon.
Great, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your questions, Shikha. Our next question will be from the line of Deepak. Deepak, you can now unmute your line and ask your question.
Yeah, thanks. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, my first question is regarding bimetals. So as per your presentation, now you are adjusted for scrap volume. What I could see in both Q1 and Q2, we saw a decline in the volumes of bimetal, right? Q1 it was around -1%. Now that has gone up to -8% on YOY basis. Okay, so I just want to understand what is happening here, because the expectation was post-election the volume growth should pick up, right? But that seems not to be happening. So could you please elaborate what is happening and what is our volume guidance for FY25 for bimetal?
If you see the deck itself, the bimetal volume has not decreased substantially. It is almost at par. And we have seen a slower growth as estimated earlier for this quarter, and we are very hopeful that it will increase in the next quarter onwards. The reason of this value growth, what we have seen that it is hardly 3% decline quarter to quarter or half year to half year. And in quarter to quarter, it is hardly 0.5% decline in volume.
No, sir, it's an 8% decline, right? Last quarter you did 281,000, in this quarter it is 258,000.
So,
Right, so it's an 8% decline.
I think I am going through the last day deck. Maybe you were comparing from the last quarter deck.
No, sir, the latest deck. Your slide number, it's on slide number 35. Q2 FY24 bimetal, we did a volume of 281,000, right? And
Yes.
Q2 FY25, we did 258,000.
Yes, correct.
Right, so that's an YOY decline of 8%.
Okay, so here we have excluded the impact of scrap. So the product quantity you were talking about, which is around 8% quarter to quarter decline in bimetal.
Yes.
Yes, you are correct.
Yeah. So that's what I'm asking. What is our guidance for FY25 for this volume in bimetals?
So as we have discussed regarding the coming quarter and the next to next quarter, and according to the commitment from the customer, it will increase. And what we have foreseen, at least the fourth quarter of this year will improve at least 10% of this amount.
Okay, 10% on the Q2 number you're saying, which is 258,000.
Yeah, so currently this is what we have an estimation and the confirmation from the customers.
Thank you for your question, Deepak. You can raise your hand again for any more follow-up questions, and I'll rejoin you to the queue. Our next question is from Uttam Purohit. Uttam, you can now unmute your line. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Uttam. Please ask your question.
Yes. Yeah. So I have about two questions. I joined the call late, so I'm not sure if it was covered initially. The first question being the promoter sale has gone up quite a bit this quarter. So firstly, what is the reason for that? And secondly, is there any further promoter sale, stake sale that we are expecting in the coming quarters?
Hi Uttam. So there are two ways of looking at it. Actually, we've had some restructuring within the organization and the ownership structure. Later September this year, we were two families that were in the promoters of Shivalik, and now one of the promoters has exited the business because of age related reasons. The person was no longer the next generation of the other promoter was not involved in the business. So basically they have retired, that family has retired from the business. They have sold their equity partially to the remaining promoter family, which is the other family, which is Ghuman family, and sold some of their equity into the market to institutional investors. So when you look at the overall promoter holding, you will see that as declining. But if you see, look at it from the other point of view, the remaining promoters actually increased quite substantially from a 25% to a 34% holding. No, because we have just gone ahead and increased that as of now, and for at least a longer term into the future, we do not foresee any further reduction in promoter holding. If anything, we would like to see if we can find ways and means to take it up further at some point. But as of now, no, there is no such other plan.
Understood. Thanks. And I have another question. So according to the deck, I saw that the net working days has gone up drastically by about 36 days. So is there any particular reason? Is there a structural change which is ongoing and due to which this is happening?
Hi Uttam. There is no structural changes as we are utilizing the tailor-made raw material for our bimetal, and this is almost 75% plus we are importing. So due to that, our inventory days is somehow in the range of 180 to 200 days.
Okay.
And that's why if you see the working capital for us is around 200 plus days quarter to quarter. We are consistently working on it to develop some of the domestic supplier based on which we would like to reduce as much as we can.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you for your questions, Uttam. Our next question will be from the line of Divyansh Gupta with some more follow-up questions. Divyansh, you can now unmute your line and ask your question.
Yeah, hi. Couple of questions more. So if you can give the details of the contact business, how much was the revenue and the volume? And assuming post-scrap for then the previous quarter and quarter last year.
Yeah, so for the contact business, in the last 6 months, we have achieved 35.87 crore compared to the last year, 29.50 crore, which is an increase of 21.60% in revenue. Our gross margin has declined a little bit, which was in the last year 21.68%. It goes down to 20.79%, a marginal dip of 89 BPS. And
parallel. If you can also give the Q1 numbers FY24 and 25.
Okay, so in Q1 FY25, we achieved 18.77 crore. And in Q2 FY25, we achieved 17.10 crore.
Thank you for your follow-up question, Divyansh. You can also write to us at Dickinson to get any more of your questions answered. We'll allow another follow-up question from Akash Vora. Akash, you can now unmute your line and ask your question.
Thanks. My question is more from a 2 to 3 year standpoint, wherein I wanted to understand how much growth do we expect on the shunts automotive side? Would it be safe to assume that we can, once the cycle recovers, can we grow at 20-25%? And do we expect the cycle to recover in the next, let's say, 6 to 8 months?
Yes, so we do expect the cycle to improve, as you mentioned, from the fourth quarter onwards. But when we look at a 2 to 3 year in the future, when we look at that kind of a time frame, then a lot of growth other than the market situation will also be coming from the developments that we have done over the last 1 or 2 years, which start in a very, the development phase is very, very slow, where the whole process of developing a customer and starting production, and then slowly the quantities increase every year. So in that period, we should be able to get a lot more business coming from there as well. So when we look at a 2 to 3 year period, I think it could be safe to say that we should be able to reach those levels, not just from our existing business, but going to those growth levels, because some of what happened in part of 2021 and 22, some of that increase came from too much of over-ordering from some of our customers because of supply chain issues, which of course was strong growth, but also it's proven that was not the most sustainable way of growth. So now what we are seeing, the kind of developments that have taken place and the slight increase that we expect now and in the coming quarters, and then other than that, these new developments will be a lot more sustainable growth. And yes, in this 2 to 3 year period, we could be back to those levels. If not 24, 25%, at least closer to 20%.
Thank you for your follow-up question, Akash. We'll take the next question from Prateek Jain. Prateek, you can unmute your line and ask your question.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So, my question is fundamentally on the bimetal segment. So, just wanted to understand that, many of these data centers which require, high voltage switch gears. So, do we have capabilities to supply bimetals to them, or are we looking to, enter into those adjacencies?
We do have the capability. We do supply for medium voltage and high voltage applications. As the need and the requirement of the customer comes in, we do have the capability to supply for those modules as well.
Okay, got it. And so second question, sorry if I'm repeating it, but I got little confused with the segmental data. If you just help me out with the shunts segmental numbers within EV, smart meter domestic, and smart meter exports.
Think, Rajiv, do you have the breakup?
Yeah, so he's asking for the more breakup. We are having the breakup for a smart meter, like energy meter, where we are doing a business almost 30% of the total shunt business. And for the automotive, almost 61% of the shunt business. Rest for the other application.
And this is for this quarter?
Yes, this is for this quarter.
And what
Thanks, Prateek. You can write to us with any more follow-up questions as we're nearing the end of time. We'll take one last question for this call from the line of Viranj Karudi. Viranj, please ask your question.
Can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you for giving this opportunity. And can I know how much our company is spending on R&D with respect to percentage of sales reference, and how much revenue or specialty or competitive advantage you see in future about a rupee spend on R&D now? Thank you.
Hello, Viranj. So currently we are at approximately 1%. But we have projects and plans in place for 2025, calendar year 25 and 26, where we'll be aggressively adding further capabilities in terms of testing equipment, smaller prototype processes which replicate our production lines, and also, of course, manpower, which is planned in a phase-wise manner to increase our focus on R&D. So to answer your question, 1% is the current level, but we are working towards increasing that over the next at least year, year and a half.
Thank you for your questions. Since we've neared the end of time, if you have any other follow-up questions, you can write to us at Dickinson and we'll be happy to get them answered to your satisfaction. I also see some written questions, so we'll ensure we get back to you on those as well. I'll now hand over to Rajiv Ranjan, the CFO, for closing remarks for today's call. Rajiv, over to you.
Thank you, Sankhini. Thank you all for the thoughtful questions and for engaging in this dialogue. As we bring today's discussion to a close, I want to reaffirm Shivalik's commitment to steady, lasting growth built on resilience and a clear strategic vision. The first half of FY25 has shown how we adapt, innovate, and stay focused, traits that will continue to steer us through both the opportunities and the challenges that lie ahead. On behalf of the entire team, thank you to all stakeholders for your continued support and confidence. We look forward to the future with optimism and resolve. For any remaining questions, please feel free to reach out to Dickinson. Thank you and have a pleasant evening.
Thank you to everyone for your questions and engagement today. This concludes our earnings call for Shivalik. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Cheers.